Thank you, Father, for the beautiful day. Thank you for church. Thank you for the people that are gathered here and that we can call on throughout the week, and people that pray and people that love and people that help. And God, it is, again, I'm reminded what a blessing it is to be a part of a church. And I thank you for that. So help us today to learn some things from thy word. Help us to receive what we need and guide us into the truth of the scripture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, I'm reminded week after week of just how precious it is to be a Christian, how wonderful it is to have God's people, to watch those who are going through hard times and see encouragement from Christians, and to think, boy, the lost doesn't have it. The lost, they have loved ones, they have people that care about them, but they don't have that hope and that comfort from the Holy Spirit and from God's people. And so thank you so much for being a blessing to so many. And it's just been one of those weeks where you have to trust the Lord with everything. And of course, we should do that all the time. But we are just reminded of it again. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're moving slowly. And we nobody's surprised at that. We just kind of taken our time. We've studied the first three verses now for quite a while, but the first three verses is point number one of 3 points for the whole book of Ephesians, and that is the description revealing our blessings. And so we are spending some time on it. Capital A, the author, talked about that, and then capital B, the audience, talking about the different names for the audience of this letter to the Ephesians. And then we have talked about capital C, the admonition, and dealt with some different things about that and what was said about grace and peace. And then capital D, dealing with Ephesians 1:3, and that is the announcement. And again, just such a wonderful, wonderful verse for us that we've been trying to talk about. We talked about blessing God. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Talked about that last week. And of course, how can we bless God? Well, we can bless Him by praising Him. We bless Him by prayer, trusting Him, having faith. We bless Him by loving Him. And if we love Him, we'll keep our commandments, the Bible says. We often fall short. Love, though, always does bring action. If you really love God, you're going to be busy serving God. You're going to want to serve Him. You're going to want to do what His will is for your life. And, of course, then it blesses God when we serve God's people. And we ended with that the last time we met. Next week, I'll be with the shepherds. And so I'm anticipating finishing this lesson today, but you know how that goes. So anyway, Brother Dale will have this class. And so anyway, we're moving on in verse 3 now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I kind of wrote down here, I wanted to key on what is God like. I wanted to key on looking at what it says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says you can't look on God. We know that. We read that in the Old Testament. And so we get some ideas here. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that we can look at Jesus, and we can study Jesus. And when Jesus came, the word Emmanuel, God with us, we know that Jesus is God. Again, it's not, you know, when you start talking about the Trinity and it seems like, oh, you know, we don't understand that. And yet we do understand it a lot better than we think we do, because in reality, we deal with that with ourselves. For example, I am a father and I am also a husband. And there was a point where, and I am still a son, but my parents are both in heaven. But we understand it a little bit better when we look at ourselves. We can understand the Trinity. Some people have said the egg is a good example of the Trinity. Well, it is. I mean, it's not a bad example of the Trinity. But to me, the better example of the Trinity is just yourself. You are separate. Which again, you are more than three things to various groups of people. But the truth is, we can understand that you are just one person, and yet you are a grandparent, you are a parent, you are a spouse, and the list goes on and on. And so we recognize Jesus is God, and I think I've mentioned this before, that the one question that when I was ordained, the one question I didn't get it right because I didn't know. Was when one of the pastors asked me, my dear brother, he was a Southern fellow, my dear brother, when we get to heaven, what part of the Godhead will we see? And I just, you know, I mean, I just graduated from college, and well, I hadn't yet, and it was like, you know, I had no clue where he was even going. Well, Colossians 2. And verse 9, so I will never forget this, obviously, because that was, you know, he just kind of smiled, and, you know, and anyway, for in him, talking about Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so we will see Jesus. You don't have to be confused about, oh, you know, there's three gods. No, there's one God. But God has chosen to show the three persons, personalities, however you want to call that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're not, it's not a multi-headed God or anything like that. But when we get to heaven, we'll see Jesus. In John chapter 14, look at John 14 and verse 9. And so, again, we should focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, John 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And so the scripture is very, very clear that Jesus is the one that we will see, and we need to look to Jesus. And Titus 2, verse 13, look at Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great God and our Savior. No doubt, Jesus is God. So many, and one of the ways to tell a cult is how they look at Jesus. Who is Jesus? Is he God? Or is he, the Mormons will say he is a God, small g God. Jehovah's Witness, they think he's a pretty good fella. But we believe, of course, that he is God, and Jehovah's Witnesses will twist all kinds of scriptures to not admit that he is God. So, again, we recognize a very important thing when the Bible talks about blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we get into how God blesses us in Christ. And so, again, without Christ, without Jesus as our Savior, then we certainly we receive rain. When rain comes, we receive sunshine. We receive the blue skies. Lost people get all those benefits. It rains on the just and on the unjust. But what about God's blessings? And God in Christ, He does bless us often. And it says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so God does bless us in Jesus Christ. There is a bonus, a benefit, obviously, to being saved. And lost people, they if they're Americans, they have the same blessings of being Americans. They have the same opportunities. They've got nicer homes, nicer cars. Yeah, you know, they can have some of those things. But I'm talking about God's blessings. I'm talking about the things that God does for us. And Ephesians, really, because that is really our theme. When we talk about Ephesians, that is, blessed with all blessings. We cannot just kind of skip over it because it is throughout Ephesians. We'll get in depth description of our salvation, and again, it jumps right out at you that we are so blessed to be saved. I pointed out already, just the blessing of being a Christian when you're going through trials. And seeing people that they're going through a hard time, and you get to watch God's people just come and talk about the things of the Lord, and then the Lord Himself giving His comfort. It is an amazing thing. And so again, the blessing here, as it says, and this is what I want you to get: who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This isn't something that is going to happen. This is something that is happening now. You know, what is it? Somebody said, all this and heaven too. Praise God. You know, those of us that are, if you're waiting on heaven to get your blessings, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff now. You know, it is so sad how many Christians, they get saved, maybe they get baptized, and then they get away from church, don't read their Bible, just never really grow in the Lord. They miss out on so much. You run into them. You go out knocking on doors, and you'll run into somebody. Oh, I was saved 30 years ago, and just never really got involved. And now, I've had this and this and this and this, and they just miss out on so much. That doesn't mean God isn't blessing them. It's just they are not going to be blessed like they could be. I don't know of any organization like the New Testament Church, where the door just opens for blessing. There are so many ways God will bless. Now, he may bless people in other ways. That's His business. But we have a lot of blessings. And so some things that I wrote down that to me are very important. And here's what it says: in heavenly places. You say, oh, it's talking about heaven. No, it's talking about now. No, wait a minute, preacher. Hold on just a minute. We're not in heaven. No, but we are in heavenly places in Christ. Read what it says. Heavenly places in Christ. You see, we can live in the heavenlies, all right? And that's an interesting term, the heavenlies. Well, it's the opposite of the earthlies. Amen. Now, you may choose to live in the earthlies, but you don't have to as a Christian. You can live in the heavenlies. And, several things about that. Number one is if you're saved, you have a citizenship there. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. My conversation is in heaven. I am a heavenly citizen now, today, this minute, and have been ever since I was 17 years old and I got saved. I have been a citizen of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And you say, well, yeah, but we still live here. Yeah, but that makes it here that much better. Now, if again we focus on the earthlies all the time, and that's our main source of everything we do, then we're missing out on all the things that are in the heavenlies. We're missing out on the benefits of being a citizen of heaven. You know, God has so many things that He wants to bless us with, but we have to recognize those blessings are because we're citizens of heaven. Those blessings, you say, yeah, but I'm waiting till I get to heaven and I'm going to have this and this. But why wait? God has things for you today. God has blessings for you now. Look at Luke 10 and verse 20. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My name's written there. I'm a citizen there. My name is written there. My Bible says in John chapter 14, he's building a mansion for me. I have a home in heaven. There is a home there in heaven for me. And it's not just a home, it's a mansion. Praise the Lord. I go to prepare a place for you. So everything, all my connection now since I got saved, all my connection goes to heaven. I am a citizen. It's kind of like if you are in a foreign country and the people of that foreign country, they receive this, maybe, and maybe it's a poor country, a third world country or something like that. But you may receive, you're still a citizen of the United States of America. I'm sure there are people in many countries, many of our missionaries, they will watch people that maybe they know, Christians that they know, and those folks don't have, let's say, they don't have any kind of health insurance. They can't be treated for something. I'm thinking right now of the Smiths in Barbados, and so many of the people in their church. In Barbados, you have to pay cash if you have a medical problem. There's a lady, dear, sweet lady there who needs a knee replacement, and it's gonna, I don't remember how much they said, it was around $20,000, I think, and she has to raise that money somehow. Well, she's not gonna be able to do, but if Brother Smith needed that, because he's a citizen of the United States and he has his benefits here in the United States, he could go get that surgery. And again, that's just one example. There could be many other kinds of examples. But understand, as a citizen of heaven, I am entitled because my name is written down. I'm a citizen of heaven. I can have the blessings of God now. I know we're looking forward to then. Oh, you know, we're going to have this and we're going to have that and everything. And that's, we should. But what's wrong with today? What's wrong with having some of those blessings now? Paul talked about being in the heavenlies, in heavenly places in Christ. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because I'm a citizen above. I'm a citizen of heaven. Physically, I'm on this earth, but spiritually, I have a citizenship in heaven. And wow, you know, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. There's so many things I've written down. In Christ, we are in the heavenlies. We walk, we talk, we live in heavenly places. He talks about that. Okay, so we have trials and tribulation, but we have one that we can go to. We have one that cares. We have one that loves us. We have one that will take care of those trials and tribulation. We understand that in trial and tribulation, we understand that all things work together for good. The world can't say that. The world never says that. You hear the world talking about trials. You hear the world talking about trouble. And you'll hear words like, boy, that was unlucky. You'll hear words like, this cannot turn out good. You'll hear things like that. We know that God has a purpose in everything that he does. But we only know that because we're citizens of heaven. We only know that because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a citizen in heaven. My treasures, okay, you say, you know, the stock market. Well, most of us here, that didn't affect. I mean, it does in a roundabout way, but, you know, my stocks didn't change. You say, really? Yeah, because I don't have stocks. But I do have an IRA. I haven't really looked at that. It's so old. I don't remember what, I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to it, but my investment there, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter what happens down here. It doesn't matter. It is, moth and rust can't corrupt my investment there. And since I'm a citizen there, it doesn't really matter what happens here. And honestly, it is a very good comparison when you travel abroad that whatever happens there doesn't affect your citizenship here, unless you break the law or something like that. That could be a problem. But I'm just saying, they may have something going on. We've been in other countries, and they have something going on in their country, and all the people are upset about it. Well, I'm still a citizen here in the U.S. I don't know how many times I've landed in the U.S. and said, praise God, good to be back. Because other countries do things kind of weird, but especially driving on the wrong side of the road. That's a unique thing. But one of these days we're going to say, praise God, it's good to be home. But while we're here, we're still a citizen of that home. And it's such a wonderful truth. And I love the way that it starts off here as far as who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, we recognize that the cross of Jesus Christ is what made that possible. A little girl one time, first time she went to church, her parents were kind of showing her around everything, and she saw a cross on the wall, and she'd never heard any of the story. She didn't know anything, and she said, look, Daddy, a big plus sign. Amen. And that is what the cross is. It's a big plus sign. And everything's good for the Christian. Really, everything. I'm not telling you not to cry. I'm not telling you not to, have heartache and sometimes be burdened over different things. I'm just saying that with Jesus as our Savior, we are citizens of heaven. And whatever happens down here, okay, we're part of that. We deal with some of those things. But the fact of the matter is, everything is a plus sign. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Don't want to leave, and yet don't really want to stay. So whatever God's will is, that's what really matters. And, you're always thinking a positive thing. No, I'm just reading the Bible. That's all. Heavenly places, don't you love it? Have you ever thought about how Paul and Silas, they're beaten? Whipped, in prison. See, they don't know, they don't have the Bible to be able to read that they're going to get out. Do you understand? They don't know. They're in prison, they're beaten, and it's midnight. Okay, I'm sure they didn't just have steak, right? And I know they didn't have pork chops. Okay, so things are not looking up. And what are they doing? They're singing praise to the Lord. How? How is that? Well, because they know this world is not my home. They know that their citizenship is in heaven. They know that God has so much more for them. Folks, we need to get our focus on the heavenlies. Again, not being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I'm talking about enjoying the Christian life that we have. Enjoying the fact that we have a citizenship in heaven, enjoying the fact that we are here on this earth, but we have heaven as our eternal home. What a blessing to realize this, isn't it? It is such a blessing to know. So enjoy this. Amen. Don't just endure this. Enjoy. Enjoy life. Knowing that you're in heavenly places in Christ. And that is today. That is now. That is this minute. It's the difference between hospital visits. This has been the week of the hospital. I've been in and out of hospitals all week long. And you watch people. You can just see. I mean, there's some folks that are little groups that are, it's just kind of silence and sniffles And, you know, everything's bad. And then there's some folks where it's you know, God's in control and God loves us and God's going to bless and there's a reason. And the difference is living in the heavenlies. I hope everywhere you go, you represent the heavenlies well. Because when we represent the earthlies, it's doing a disservice to our Lord. It really is. Well, let's move on to lesson number two. We have covered three verses. We've covered point number one of the whole book and outline that I have. And lesson number two, we're just going to keep the title for Ephesians, blessed with all blessings. But we do come to the passage verses 4-6. And that is just going to cover just a portion, obviously, of Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 1 is the description revealing our blessings. That's verses 1-3 of Ephesians 1. But you'll notice Roman numeral 2 covers the doctrine realizing our blessings. And that covers Ephesians 1, 4 through chapter 2. And verse 22, which is the end of chapter 2. So the doctrine, realizing our blessings. So in 1, he is revealing our blessings, how that we are in the heavenlies, how that God blesses us. And he just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. We bless him, but he blesses us. But now the doctrine, and understand, and this is kind of a little intro to this lesson. You know, realizing our blessings comes from the doctrine. We always say, oh, you know, doctrine, that's deep teachings of the Bible. Okay, well, it is deep. But how about this? How about if it's you realizing all God's done? What we believe this is what God did. That's doctrine. When we talk about the doctrine of the Word of God, bibliography, amen. Boy, that's big. How about the church, ecclesiology, amen. How about the last things, eschatology? Don't you love those terms? We're not going to use those terms, but all those things. It's about what has God done. It's realizing our blessings, doctrine. Don't let doctrine scare you.
those are the deep doctrines. That's not very practical.
It's totally practical to realize what God's done, to realize and to be taught the things of God. That is what doctrine is all about. Ephesians is full of doctrine. And especially we will talk about, as we are realizing our blessings, we will talk about our salvation and the doctrine of salvation. You know, isn't it interesting when you get saved, you go through the plan. I led a lady to the Lord last week. And just so simple, such a simple thing to explain that we're all sinners. And the punishment for sin is death in a place called hell. And Jesus took the punishment for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not very deep, but it doesn't have to be deep. If somebody is drowning and they want to be rescued from drowning and they hold their hand up, and you say, grab on, and that's not very, you don't have time to go through a whole lot of stuff. And you don't have to, you just have to understand, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then, wow, then you find out everything that took place when you got saved. It is such a blessing. And we will spend some time. I don't really want to get started because of the time. I don't want to start on a whole new thing here. But we will talk about capital A, our possessions in Christ. That's verses 4 through 14. That is a wonderful passage of Scripture. You notice I gave you a whole lot of room to take notes. If you want to write them down, that's because I have a whole bunch of notes. Again, we're dealing with small a, his aim, and that is going to take up a whole bunch of room, I guarantee, if you want to write all that down. Then small b,
his adoption. Notice how much room you have to write. Isn't that amazing? You say, wow, that you can't spend all this time. You know, I will spend all this page on his adoption. I'll spend all this page and a third, not quite a third, fourth maybe, on his aim. And then capital C, his acceptance in verse 6. His acceptance. You talk about a blessing. To be accepted by God. Isn't that amazing? It's hard to even think about. I will take up all that room on those subjects because they are blessings. They are blessings. And the thing is, you don't know it when you first get saved. Here's what you should know when you get saved. You should know you're saved. Isn't that wonderful? That's what you should know when you get saved. Somebody just gets saved, and this is almost always true. They get saved, and nothing's changed as far as outwardly. Nothing has changed. Whatever they were doing at the time, whatever was happening at the time, everything's the same. But here's what when they walk away, here's what should happen. Now they know they're saved. That's how it is. Somebody says, well, you said they got saved. They don't look any different. They don't act any different. Well, they have a lot to learn, but here's what they should know. They're saved. Lady I led to the Lord the other day. Last thing I said, if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? She said, heaven? I said, how do you know? She looked at me like, and she said, well, I said, how do you know? She said, well, God said, if I did this, he would save me. And I just smiled because that's what you need to know. There's nothing else you need to know right then. But isn't it wonderful to find out everything else? Isn't it great to find out all of God's blessings at that moment when it happens? Verse 4, we'll get into that. By the way, verse 4, somebody said, oh, you're going to have a tough time with it. Oh, no. That is a precious truth. When you start talking about he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that is a beautiful, wonderful truth. And again, I've called that his aim. Well, let's just do our lesson verse for this lesson number 2, and it is Ephesians 1:5, and there's that word, predestinated. Oh, are you nervous? No, I'm excited about that. You know how wonderful that truth is. That is such a wonderful thing. Predestiny. What's that mean? It means absolutely nothing can change it. It's predestinated. It cannot be changed. Wow, that is so powerful. You talk about a blessing. The chosen, that's a blessing. You say, well, now wait a minute, don't get nervous. Chosen and whosoever will works very well together. Amen. And we'll explain all of that, but what a blessing. All right, let's do Ephesians 1:5 and we'll be dismissed. We'll do the reference, then the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. And again, Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. I promise you this. Ephesians 1:4 and 5 will be a blessing to you.